Today is the second Sunday in what many people consider to be the season of Advent. The word Advent is derived from the Latin word Adventus, and it means coming or arrival. The English Bible does not use the word Advent anywhere as far as I have been able to see. And I challenge any of you to quote me a book, a chapter and a verse where the word Advent in English appears. The Bible does not use the word Advent, but there are plenty of references to the notion that God is coming, God has come. And when thousands of years later we celebrate these God coming events, so often I guess we think of the food we will be eating at that time, the decor, the aromas, the gathering together of friends and family. And of course, when the Jewish people celebrated Passover, it was a meal, it was a celebration. There would have been the aromas, the gathering together, the foods, the decor, and so on. But when we celebrate, or when we think of these God coming events, do we actually remember the other aspects, the fear, the emotion, the awesomeness, sometimes the longing, sometimes the hoping that it's going to turn out all right? Throughout the Bible, we see God coming. When you think of this word, Adventus, coming, it's not just the once, the baby in the manger. God has been coming throughout the Bible, and oftentimes when he does arrive, people are not expecting him to arrive. And this idea of God coming and perhaps taking people by surprise starts even in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they knew God's command, and they disregarded God's command, and they ate from the tree which God had commanded them not to eat from. And that was bad. Really bad. But what happened next? Oh no, he's coming. Almighty God is coming, walking in the garden. What are we gonna do now? What would you have done if you had been Adam or Eve? They felt ashamed and they hid. What do people do today when they hear the name of Jesus? Where do people try and hide today to escape the reality of living God? Where do they hide? In what things do they hide? Or should I say, where do they try to hide? And I'll just give you this, and you're going to give me an answer. Where do people try to hide? Don't know. Lots of people hide in don't know. Can you take it and just pass it along and say something? Where do people try to hide?
Buying things.
Buying things, thank you.
In place.
People hiding, just not caring.
In their homes.
That's an interesting one. People hiding away in their homes, yeah? Electronic? Absolutely. I thought you were going to say on the train.
Talking too much about other things which are not important and face reality.
Just talking and talking and talking about everything else and shutting Jesus out.
Your local newspaper.
Your local newspapers that are going out of print anyway. Yeah, maybe. Joe, well done. Where do people hide? You work with soldiers. Where do they hide to not come to face with Jesus?
They don't really hide.
Say that again.
They do not really hide.
They don't hide?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I know people hide on the internet like Facebook.
They're hiding on the internet, Facebook. Yeah, okay.
Hide by being busy and trying to be in control.
Busyness and trying to be in control. Thank you, Karen. That's a great one.
Ignorance.
People hide in ignorance, yeah. Don't know, don't care, don't interest me, yeah.
Alcohol and drugs.
Alcohol and drugs. Thank you, Jonathan. I'm surprised we didn't get that one quicker because we were quite a few of us over at Yeldon Manor on Friday night. Yes.
Sometimes people try and hide behind it.
Wow. Education, egos, careers, etc. Anyone else? That's okay. Rom gig.
We like to hide some place where there's a fellow.
Okay, thank you. So, in our generation, we can say, Jesus has come. You know, you think of the Bethlehem event. The Holy Spirit has come. You think of the Pentecost event. And Jesus is coming again. We think of when he comes to judge and to rule and to reign for eternity. And what are we going to do about it? And what are the people in our community going to do about it? We can try to hide like Adam and Eve, or we can welcome Jesus. And as they say, of course, you can run, but you can't hide. The message has got to be for ourselves, our families, our community. Don't try to run. Don't try to hide. Welcome Jesus. The word is on the screen for you. We see God coming again in the time of Noah and the flood. And it says in the Bible, we know that God was there because it says in the Bible that he, God, shut the door of the ark. God personally shut Noah and his family and the animals in the ark. Please don't forget, the word Advent, derived from the Latin word Adventus, meaning coming or arrival, doesn't appear in the English Bible, but plenty of references in the Bible to the notion that God is coming. Many years after the flood, in the time of Noah, many years after that, when the population of the world had grown, and so had the arrogance of the human heart again, the people started to build a city, as you know. They wanted to build a city with a tower. Their motivation, it's there in the Bible, so that we may make a name for ourselves. They started to build the city, but very soon we see God coming again, this time to put an end to their pride and to confuse their language. Hence, the location became known as Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. The book of Genesis is full of incidents of God coming. And then we get to Exodus and we see further incidents of God arriving on the scene. Further incidents of Adventus. Please have a look with me now at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we'll read from verses 1 to 8. one day, this bloke, who to outward appearances was just an ordinary guy, he was minding his own business, tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. We are, of course, talking about Moses. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Now Moses saw that even though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. I mean, why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And if you're willing, let's jump to verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them. Adventus, God arriving on the scene, coming down to rescue his people. Throughout history, God has been coming to earth. So, the notion or the accusation that sometimes you hear made against God, the notion, the accusation that God created the world and then just cleared off, it is just so untrue. It is just so unfair. God has been coming throughout history, intervening in our world. And now I'd like to focus on John's Gospel, which, as you know, is the book that we have been studying together for some months. And as we turn to John's Gospel, you may be asking to yourself, why is Mark talking about God coming and about Jesus coming throughout history in the same sermon? Why is he talking about God coming and about Jesus coming in the same sermon? And the answer is because, as we have so often seen in the book of John, there is unity, absolute unity, between God the Father, God the Son, that is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said to Philip in John 14 that we looked at recently on a Sunday morning. John 14 verse 9, Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And that is why I am talking about God coming and Jesus coming throughout history in the same sermon. Jesus says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And later in the same chapter, still John chapter 14, verse 23, when Jesus talks about our theme today, Advent, coming, who does he promise will come to those who obey Jesus' teaching? Because you're assuming he promises the Holy Spirit, but actually what does it say? John 14 verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we, it's Jesus speaking, he made reference to his Father, we, my Father and I, we will come to them and make our home with them. Yes, I know we talk so often about receiving the Holy Spirit, but here Jesus says that God the Father and God the Son, that is Jesus, will come to them and make their home with them. God the Father and Jesus, God the Son, will come to us, you and me, has come to us and made their home with us. And now, if you are still with me, I know this is a little bit technical, let's have a look at our actual passage for today from John's Gospel, John 15, verses 26, through to John 16 and verse 15. Jesus says, when the Advocate comes. See, this is why we've got this under the theme of Adventus, Advent, coming. Jesus is talking about when the Advocate comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. And now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and about righteousness and about judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And then Jesus continues, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Perhaps we can just take a closer look at these verses. And as we do, let's remember Jesus is speaking just before his arrest and crucifixion. He has come to earth, one of the comings, yes, Adventus. He has come to earth and he is about to fulfill his purpose for coming on the cross, dying in our place. And even now, as he is fulfilling he is about to fulfill his purpose for his recent coming, in this small passage, he speaks about another two comings. Not one, but two. I assume that you picked up on one of them, the coming of the Holy Spirit. But did you notice the other? It's only a one-word mention, but it is there all the same. We'll get to that in just a moment. So, John 15:26, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. We see again the unity. I know I keep on about this, but I keep on about it because the Gospel of John keeps on about it, and we need to know because we live in a world where there is such disunity so often. What a blessing, what a comfort to know that in our God there is unity. The Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, will be sent by Jesus from the Father, and the Spirit of truth will testify about Jesus. And just as there is unity within God, we are called to be part of that unity too. Look at verse 27. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus is telling his disciples the Holy Spirit will testify about Jesus through you, and he wants us to play our part too. We also must testify. A challenge for all of us to be telling people about our Saviour, admitting that we follow Jesus. Now, why is he telling us all of this? Because oftentimes in the Bible, when there is Adventus, God coming, what also goes together with that? God coming, Adventus, and what goes with that so often? It is persecution. We saw this last week when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. A persecution broke out. Herod wanted to kill baby Jesus. You remember, yeah? There is a war that has been going on throughout history. And when God starts something new, Satan tries to destroy what God is doing. We see that through the scriptures. We see it in churches even today. And Jesus says, all this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. That we will remember that Jesus has warned us about them. We cannot complain. We have no license to complain to God. You never told me. You know, so often that's the thing that we say in our world today. I wasn't told. No one told me. We cannot accuse Jesus. Jesus goes on and says, I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. Now, none of you asks, where are you going? Rather, You are filled with grief because I have said these things, but very truly I tell you, it's actually for your good that I'm going away. You see, unless I go, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And in the next three verses, we see a hint of the next Adventus, the next coming of God. This time, not as the baby in the manger, not as the Savior on the cross, not as God, the Holy Spirit, coming at Pentecost and living in us, but as God, the Judge, bringing judgment on the world. We get a hint about when Jesus will return in glory and God will judge the world. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that our world sometimes gets it wrong? Yes or no? Shout out one word, areas. Yeah, and one word, areas in which our world gets it wrong. One word. One word is. Oh. I would say wars. Our world gets it wrong. They go to war. Is that right? Wars. Our world gets it wrong. Climate change. Hasn't our world got it wrong? We think we can just do whatever we want and there will be no consequence. The way they celebrate Christmas. Does our world get it wrong? Presents and decorations and all that nonsense. Yes, the world gets it very wrong, but in other ways too. I just quoted three, and the Bible quotes three. Let's have a look. Yes, the world gets it very wrong. This is what Jesus says in verse 9. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong. Did you notice that in your Bibles? He will prove the world to be in the wrong. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong. Number one, about sin and righteousness. Sorry. Number one, about sin. Number two, about righteousness. And number three, about judgment. And Jesus goes on and explains. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world, Satan, now stands condemned. So, the world is wrong about sin. The world says that God does not exist. And therefore the world says that sin does not exist. For this reason, one leads into the other, the world is also wrong about righteousness. The world will not recognize Jesus as existing and as being in the right. And thirdly, this leads on, for this reason, the world is also wrong about judgment. The world will not recognize God as existing, nor as being the judge of all the earth. My friends, Adventus, coming, arriving, the many comings of God. When God arrives on the scene, it can be a fearful thing. And the human race can do one of two things. We can hide, or should I say, try and hide, like Adam and Eve, who we mentioned earlier, or we can welcome God to advent to us, to come to us and to live in us. You have been very patient this morning. Thank you for listening. There is so much to say and so little time to say it in. And if I was to say any more, would you be able to take it in? Well, that's a difficulty that I face every Sunday. And do you know what? It's a difficulty that Jesus faced. Please look at verse 12 as we close. Jesus says that exact thing. He says, I have much more to say to you, but it's more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So, my friends, let's experience the Adventus of God, not just at Christmas, but every day. Let us welcome him every day. If we invite him, he will come into whatever situation we're facing.